Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning, Hill Country.
Good morning.
Hi, Allison. Ooh, is Santa at the door already?
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it's certainly a chilly morning, and we're happy that you joined us this morning on the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show. We like to begin our program with a verse, and that is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. Very short verse. Pray without ceasing, or without stopping. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the grandest power in the entire universe. It has more omnipotent force than electricity, attraction, gravitation, or any other force. God has promised to hear prayer, and he will perform his promise. Not to pray because you do not feel fit to pray is like saying, I will not take medicine because I am too sick. Pray for prayer. Pray yourself by the Spirit's assistance into a praying frame. If I feel myself disinclined to pray, that is the time when I need to pray more than ever. Charles Spurgeon.
Yeah, we had a friend who would not take communion because she felt like she was too much of a sinner.
Well, that's the person who needs to take communion and needs to be in prayer. Absolutely. Well, we are Bill and Allison. We're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we are not politically correct. That's a warning, isn't it?
That's right.
We are not
politically correct.
We are politically incorrect, but we strive to be, most importantly, biblically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, a trigger warning. We are non-binary. Non-binary. So be careful of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Allison, I don't know if you realize that this day in 1860, Texas Rangers, under the command of Lawrence S. Ross, attacked a Comanche hunting camp at Mule Creek. Not exactly your people. Comanches were a lot rougher than your people,
mm-hmm.
The Chickasaws. But during this raid, the Rangers were surprised to find that one of their captives had blue eyes. It was a non-English-speaking white woman with her infant daughter. The mother was Cynthia Ann Parker, captured by Comanche warriors in May 19, 1836, at Fort Parker in Limestone County, Texas. She was with the Indians for almost 25 years and had become thoroughly assimilated to Comanche life. She actually married a Comanche warrior, and that's became her daughter, Cynthia Ann Parker. After her rescue, she was never reconciled, living in white society, made several unsuccessful attempts to flee her Comanche family. After 3 months at Birdville, her brother Silas took her to his Van Zandt County home. She afterward moved to her sister's place near the boundary of Anderson Counties. She died there probably after 1870.
Wasn't she Quanah Parker's mother?
You're exactly right, Allison. Her son was Quanah Parker, a Comanche chief. And after his death, her body was reinterred near him at Fort Sill. And also on December 16th in 1826, Benjamin Edwards and about 30 men rode into Nacogdoches and declared the Republic of Fredonia. Actually, there was... I wonder if they got this in the Peter Sellers movie, The Elephant That Roared. Because that was they were from Fredonia.
Oh, I thought that was the Marx Brothers.
No, this was. Was it? Was it Marx Brothers? I thought it was the Elephant That Roared. You might be right. Oh, Fredonia. Okay, there's a song about it, the Marx Brothers song. You're right. Yeah. You're right. So they rode into Nacogdoches, instituting an attempted minor revolution known as the Fredonian Revolution, They tried to get the Cherokees to help them, but the revolt was crushed by Mexican authorities. Remember, Texas was under Mexico at the time. And that was the Republic of Fredonia. So a friend of ours, I think we mentioned this on the show the other day, but a friend of ours asked, other than Texas, what other state was an independent country?
Mm-hmm.
And I guessed California. But he said, no, that wasn't, they were never really an independent country. But one state was, and it was amazing to me. You know, I know you know the answer.
Oh, so I'm not allowed to.
You're allowed to go ahead. Say,
it's Vermont.
That's right. It is Vermont. Vermont used to be an independent country. So,
you know, here's a local story. Well, mm-hmm. it's local to Fredericksburg. It's a really weird story, I think. It doesn't make much sense. In late November, police were dispatched to the 100 block of East Main Street in Fredericksburg, where a complainant said they were contacted by someone from Amazon through text in early November, and they were scammed out of $106,000 after the suspect said the Federal Trade Commission was involved and money was needed to resolve a warrant. The complainant was also told their social security payments would be ceased if the money was not sent. Isn't that I mean, that's absurd on many levels. I mean, you send $106,000 to somebody claiming that they're Amazon.
Yeah, Federal Trade Commission has a warrant. The Federal Trade Commission doesn't even issue warrants.
Exactly.
No, that's. I feel so bad for those people that got scammed like that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you should know by now not to do something like that. Just
hang up
on them.
Or
if it was a text, just ignore it.
Exactly.
Don't ever click on anything in a text, in a email, or in a text for that matter. If there's a link to some supposed website, don't click on that. Don't click on any attachments. And if it's legitimate, if it looks legitimate to you, like it's from your bank or something like that, call the bank or call the lawyer or whoever you think it is sent this and say, is this legitimate? But don't ever
I tried that with our bank. And it took about 5 hours for them to answer my phone.
Well, that's why we're switching. One reason we're switching banks, I'll tell you
what. I won't name their names.
Yeah, but there's more history coming up. Here's Paul Harvey to tell you all about it.
Willie was a senior at Steele High School, an outstanding student, especially in the subjects of literature, history, and science. He planned to attend Yale Divinity School after graduation. Willie was also a fine athlete, baseball, football, hockey, gymnastics. In fact, he was playing hockey with the high school varsity team one March day when all at once his promising future blew away like dandelion fluff. Young fellow on the other team didn't mean to hurt Willie. He just swung his stick back, accidentally striking Willie in the face, but the damage was considerable. Willie, who weighed less than 140 pounds, was knocked flat on his back. His front teeth went flying in all directions. His mouth was bloody hamburger. A surgeon did the best he could. Willie would have to stay home and rest for a while, but before the teenager was well enough to return to school, he developed terrible stomach trouble and then heart trouble. Now he was a semi-invalid. The pressure of his studies would prove intolerable, so Willie dropped out of school. Willie dropped out of high school. There would be no Yale, no ministry. The family's hopes for academic distinction now rested with Willie's kid brother. I said the family's hopes for academic distinction now rested with Willie's kid brother, but this is the rest of the story. Little brother disliked school. He was a bright pupil, just not sufficiently inspired by the curriculum. And something else, the teachers were often tough on him. Back in sixth grade, for example, the youngster, this is the younger brother now, remember, got into a bit of minor mischief for which his teacher, Miss Bond, sent him home, and he was told not to return until Miss Bond had met personally with one of his parents. There were 2 weeks left before the end of school year. Dad was away on business. Mother was otherwise busy, so the little boy, well, he never did finish the sixth grade. The family had moved to another town before he re-entered high school. He got good grades, but once again failed to win the respect of many of his instructors, and that may have exasperated him more than he let on. Anyway, one day before graduation, the boy quit school forever. Now, his excuse was that there were too many required subjects that did not interest him. That was the reason he gave for dropping out. In any event, his academic career was over, as was his older brother's. And surely their father must have anguished over the future of his sons. Those two boys who would forever be high school dropouts in a highly competitive world. Well, the boys drifted in and out of some ordinary jobs. But then one day, these two dropouts, these two lads, neither of whom was making it in any specific job, teamed up. And the result was one of the greatest achievements in the history of mankind. Your notions may have been misconceived regarding the two men who took that first giant leap at Kitty Hawk. Now I hope you'll always remember their initial underachievement. The two high school dropouts, Wilbur and Orville, the Wright brothers. Because now you know the rest of the story.
Thank you, Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey and... I love those are the rest of the story because you never know where he's going with them.
No.
But thought it was appropriate because this is the anniversary of their first flight. Although, if you're in Hill Country, you know that wasn't the first powered flight.
That's right.
A man in Fredericksburg invented a plane 40 years before the Wright brothers, flew it in a field in Luckenbach and got off the ground and flew it several hundred feet, just like the Wright brothers did. Unfortunately, his plane crashed. He wasn't injured, but his plane crashed, and he was not able to raise the money from the investors to repair it. And there is a plaque in Marketplatz in Fredericksburg honoring him. So we know that the Wright brothers weren't first, but they get all the credit.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder why there's so many semis on the road? Bill knows why I'm asking that question.
Why would you ask me that question?
We just got back from a road trip on I-10 going to and from El Paso. And if it weren't for semis, there would be virtually no traffic.
That's probably... That is true. You couldn't count the number of semis we were accompanied by coming back or going for that matter. Both sides of the road.
The ones that weren't on the road were off to the side, and you'd pass a. It wasn't even a rest stop. It was just a stretch of road.
Frontage road, where
these trucks were lined up.
Plus, on our way back, it was 5 hours of pouring rain, driving rain. So it was horrible. But thank the Lord, He protected us and many other people. But yeah, it's just amazing how many semis are on the road today. I don't know if they're more today than there used to be, or I'm just getting older and it's more annoying to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the importance. If it weren't for trucks and trucking, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the equipment here. We wouldn't have things in the grocery store or any store for that matter. So it's American trucking is vital.
Well,
if you go shopping, thank a trucker.
I told Bill on our trip when he was so frustrated with all these trucks. I said, listen to the Bill and Allison show on this Saturday, and you'll find out one reason there's so many semis on the road.
And I'm making a point of listening today.
Okay, and. Of course, I don't object to the prime trucks because they are not the fault of it. Although, actually, and it's amazing how many prime trucks there are. And a little sidebar, on our trip to El Paso, we stop and spend the night in Van Horn, Texas, which has this beautiful old hotel that was built in 1930. And it's been meticulously restored. And they have a wonderful restaurant.
Art Deco Hotel.
Uh-huh, Art Deco.
Beautiful. They have the Sirius 40s music channel playing when you walk in. It's very cool.
On Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, which I was just talking about earlier, Jeff Bezos stays at this hotel for the launches of his Blue Origin rockets, which their launch pad is probably 25 miles north, due north of this hotel.
Yeah, so, you know, you go into the hotel restaurant, which is very good, by the way. It's called the El Capitan Hotel, by the way. And you might be sitting at the next table as Jeff Bezos, the second richest man in the world, mm-hmm. whatever he is, owner of Amazon, owner of Blue Origin. And there he is, you know, sitting next to you eating a chicken sandwich or something.
Yeah, I struck up a conversation with a fellow at breakfast, and because he was wearing a T-shirt identifying, I thought, where he worked. And the T-shirt was for the Jet Propulsion Lab. And I said, oh, do you work there? And he said, no, he works for Blue Origin. So we were able to learn something about what they do. Their offices are in Seattle. But what they do is they send groups of people out to work for a while at the location in Van Horn-ish. And he was one of them. And I had been curious if they hire any locals, and they don't seem to. They seem to send everybody out from Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the reason so many semis, it's because of the Jones Act, which forbids foreign vessels from transporting goods between American ports. In 1920, the Jones Act was originated, and it requires that cargo ships making domestic trips be made in and registered in America and owned and crewed by Americans. Opponents of the act say it drives up prices and clogs our highways with all those semis. Now it's accused of complicating the move to clean energy by inhibiting the ship-heavy construction of offshore wind farms. And this is shining a spotlight on the law's unintended consequences. There's a project in the waters off, and apparently they're trying to go toward wind farms in offshore. And there's a project in Massachusetts. It's called the Vineyard Wind. And it's the first major offshore wind farm in the United States. A ship was spotted in the area. The name of the ship, the Jones Act Enforcer. Seriously.
Really?
Yes. Its crew watches over the construction to make sure that non-U.S. ships employ American workers and comply with the Jones Act.
Mm-hmm.
Critics point out that the project relies on specialized foreign vessels, and limiting their use may be inflating costs. And the problem is, the United States doesn't have enough ships to build a wind farm. So you might be asking, how did this Ship American become a thing? Laws promoting Made in America ships for domestic trade were instituted with the first Congress of the U.S.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. The restrictions were lifted during World War I, but were reinstated shortly after in 1920 with the Jones Act. Lawmakers were worried that the U.S. was too reliant on foreign ships to move goods around during the war and wanted to ensure it wouldn't happen again. Even today, the law's supporters tout that it protects American jobs in transportation and shipbuilding. But American shipbuilding has taken a nosedive since 1920. Ships are being made more cheaply in Asia. So the Jones Act has become a thorn in the side of many industries as fewer American-made ships are available. So as a result, New England, which gets as much as 35% of its liquefied natural gas from abroad, despite the U.S. being among the world's largest exporters of liquid natural gas. The high cost for transportation by ship means companies often turn to trucks, which explains why you're stuck on the interstate surrounded by semis.
Mm-hmm.
And don't expect a change anytime soon. A bill to repeal the Jones Act was introduced in 2021, but it was never voted on. Most politicians continue to support it.
I didn't know anything about that.
Now you know.
The Jones Act.
Uh-huh. The Jones Act.
And that's responsible for semis on the road, more semis on the road?
A lot of them. Now, mm-hmm. now the prime trucks would not be affected by that, since they need to get their merchandise, you know, in, you know, 2 days.
Why would they not be affected by it?
Well, going by ship would be slow.
Oh, I see.
Okay. You know, but yeah, so that's one reason there's so many semis out there.
Did not know that. Did not know that. Well, there's a group. I'm sure you've heard of critical race theory, CRT, and a lot of people don't know. They've heard of it, but they don't know exactly what it means. It basically is that everything bad in the world is because of white people. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's what it is. And that's what they're teaching in a lot of public schools today. That's what our kids are learning. That, you know, if you're white, you should hate yourself. And that's why we have to tear down all these monuments and change the names of, you know, buildings and things like that. Because white people were bad. And they're responsible for everything. That's critical race theory. Well, there's a group called Alliance Defending Schools. And they have free online training for parents to how to deal with critical race theory, where your kids come home and say that, you know, all the founding fathers were a bunch of racists and slave owners, and we shouldn't, you know, we should hate America, and Karl Marx was right and all that. So if you want to know how to deal with critical race theory arguments, you can get free online training. And this isn't like, you know, hours of book, you know, textbooks and all that. It's online. You can do it at your own pace. It's very simple. Doesn't take a lot of time, but it will equip you to deal with the propaganda that's being put into your kids' minds in public schools. It's called Parental Rights in the Face of Critical Theory. And I'm going to give you a website, and I want you to write it down and go to this website and get the free information about how to combat critical race theory. And I'll give you a moment to get a pen to write this down. If you miss it, email the station, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Okay, you ready? It's tinyurl. It's tinyurl.com. tinyurl.com/parentrights2023. Okay? tinyurl.com/parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, rights, R-I-G-H-T, all one word, 2023, all one, all together, no spaces there. tinyurl.com/parentrights2023. Well, there's some good news about education. A quiet revolution is taking place. Over the past 6 years, homeschooling has surged by 51%. 51% homeschooling has increased by. It's all because of COVID lockdowns and angry conservative parents who don't want their children indoctrinated by mentally ill activists, basically. I
love it. A lot of it started with COVID because parents were sort of forced to homeschool, and they started realizing what was going on in the schools.
That's exactly right. They learned. You know, somebody proposed in one of the counties nearby, I don't remember which one, but someone said, let's put cameras in every classroom. You know, have it so that parents can look on the internet and see what their kids are being taught. And the teachers were, oh, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you afraid of?
Exactly.
What are you afraid of? Exactly. Yeah. This isn't, by the way, this increase in homeschooling isn't specific by region or demographics. We're talking about Upper Manhattan to Eastern Kentucky. Families are increasingly opting to take the educational reins into their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't a mere reaction to failing public schools. Even districts that consistently score high on standardized tests have seen spikes in homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And that is, Allison, that is reshaping the fabric of American education. I mean, mm-hmm. good night, a 51% increase in homeschooling mm-hmm. in the past few years. you can tailor your children's education. And of course, it poses a lot of challenges for the government schools because they have funding based taxpayers based on student enrollment. But, you know, there's a lack of oversight and regulation in many states of what's taught in schools. And but this parents can say now, if I homeschool, I can control what my kids learn and know what they're learning. That's the thing. Know what they're learning. So I saw a bumper sticker. My kid is an honor student at a dumbed down government indoctrination camp. Isn't that great?
Coming up after the break.
We've got all sorts of stuff coming up.
Well, if you ever wondered why we have speaking of transportation, the U.S. Standard Railroad gauge, the distance between the rails is 4 feet, 8.5 inches. That's a weird number. Well, you won't believe how they came up with that number. You'll learn it right after the break.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
And you can hear our past shows at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. So join us there. You can download to your favorite digital device and take Bill and Allison show with you wherever you go. Before the break, I promised to tell you about the weird, weird origins of the standard railroad gauge in the United States. That is the distance between the rails. It's 4 feet, 8.5 inches. Now that's an odd number. Why? Where did they come up with that? Well, it goes all the way back to the way they built railroads in England. And English engineers designed the first U.S. railroads. Well, why? The question is, of course, why did the English build them like that? Because the first rail lines were built by the same people who built the wagons, and that's the gauge they used. Now, why do they use that gauge then? Because the people who built the wagons used the same jigs. I'm sorry, let me go back. The people who built the tramways then built the railroads, and the people who built the tramways used the same jigs and tools they had used for building wagons, which use that same wheel spacing. Now, why did the wagons have that spacing? Well, if they tried to use any other spacing, the wagon wheels would break more often on some of the old long-distance roads in England. You can think, I mean, if there's ruts in the road and if you put your wagon in those ruts, you'll do fine. But if you do something different, if you had a different gauge, it could easily break the axles and things like that. So that's the spacing of the wheel ruts. Well, who built those old rutted roads? Imperial Rome. They built the first long-distance roads in Europe, including England, for their armies. So those roads have been used ever since. What about the ruts in the road? Well, Roman war chariots formed the initial ruts, and everybody else had to match that or run the risk, as I said, of destroying their wagon wheels. So since the chariots were made for Imperial Rome, they were all alike in the matter of wheel spacing. So the U.S. standard railroad gauge of 4 feet, 8.5 inches is derived from the original specifications for an Imperial Roman war chariot. Bureaucracies live forever, what can I say? So the next time you're handed a specification, a procedure, and wonder what horse's ass came up with this, you may be exactly right. Imperial Roman army chariots were made just wide enough to accommodate the rear ends of two war horses. Now, here's a twist to the story. When you see a space shuttle sitting on its launch pad, there are two big booster rockets attached to the side of the main fuel tank. Those are solid rocket boosters, or SRBs. The SRBs are made by Thiokol, at their factory in Utah. Now, the engineers who designed the SRBs wanted to make them a bit larger, but the SRBs have to be shipped by train from the factory in Utah to the launch site, usually in Florida. So the railroad line from the factory happens to run through a tunnel in the mountains, and the solid rocket boosters have to fit through that tunnel. And the tunnel is slightly wider than the railroad track, and the railroad track, as you now know, is about as wide as two horses' behinds. So a major space shuttle design feature of what is arguably the world's most advanced transportation system was determined over 2,000 years ago by the width of a horse's ass. And you thought being a horse's ass wasn't important? Well, what we've learned from this is that horses' asses control almost everything.
It's true in more ways than that.
Yeah, that's true.
Krispy Kreme, K-Krispy, K-Kreme, which is a company based in North Carolina, a donut chain, as we all know. They opened their first location in France, in Paris, this past week, in a space that they took over from an acclaimed Michelin-starred chef. How about that?
Wow.
500 French people lined up outside the new Krispy Kreme store, some spending overnight. They were awaiting a hot glazed donut. It's a first sign that the country's culinary perspective is shifting away from three-hour dinners and toward fast, cheap food. Now, France is the second biggest market behind the U.S. for McDonald's and Burger King. And they're not the only U.S. outlets going French. American chains such as Popeyes, KFC, and Domino's Pizza make up nearly 30% of France's fast food sales.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Over the next 3 months, Krispy Kreme is opening a dozen more stores in France and expanding into supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a factoid probably nobody knows except me. Krispy, capital K, Kreme, capital K, was founded in 1937. I grew up with Krispy Kreme, capital C, capital C. Krispy Kreme with the C's was founded in my hometown in 1929. How about that?
Before the K Krispy Kremes.
The KK Krispy Kreme was founded in 1937. Krispy Kreme in my hometown of Chillicothe, Ohio, was founded in 1929.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Did they sue?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. Something I read said that, and it's really hard to find that. You really have to drill down on Google to find that information. And something I read said that they were bought out by capital K, capital K. But I don't think so, because they haven't changed their name and their logo since when I was a kid.
Well, on a serious note.
That wasn't serious?
No,
that was Krispy Kreme, capital K, capital K, ripping off my hometown.
Okay.
Donut shop?
Well, okay, whatever kind of a note we're going to.
And also, they're known for their glazed donuts.
You mean you're the one in Chillicothe?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Former NSA and CIA chief Michael Hayden, who his career is attacking and censoring conservatives, he says, patriotic American Christians who own firearms are no different from Hamas terrorists.
Wow.
Yeah. He says there are no difference at all between, he posted on X, formerly Twitter, that two photos, one of a woman holding an American flag, a Bible, and a handgun, the other of a Palestinian terrorist. And he says there are no difference between those at all. Wow. He said that Michael Hayden, the former NSA and CIA chief, he called for Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville to be removed from the human race. Last year, he claimed the Republican Party was more dangerous than Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And he's, by the way, on CNN. He's employed by CNN. He was among the many deep state officials who lied to us by claiming Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Russian disinformation. And, of course, we all know that's not true. The laptop was, in fact, true.
It was Hunter's. It was Hunter's.
It was Hunter Biden's laptop, and it was absolutely true. Oh, well, here we go again. Allison's favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, me and a whole lot of other people.
Well, speaking of such things, when we come back, we're going to tell you about the best effort the government, U.S. government, has ever done to limit defense spending. You'll learn that after the break on the Bill and Allison Show on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your and information station.
FirstCoupleOfTexasRadio.com is where our previous shows are, so visit that, FirstCoupleOfTexasRadio.com. Somebody asked what the website is for this group, Alliance Defending Schools, that has free information on how to combat critical race theory that your kids may be being taught in the government schools, public schools. Go to tinyurl.com/parentrights2023. tinyurl.com/parentrights2023. Parentrights2023. Well, before the break, I told you that Alice and I have some information about the best way to limit defense spending. And it was penned by President James Madison. When war with Great Britain seemed imminent, the U.S. didn't have much of a navy at all back then. So all of his advisors and the senators and the congressmen said, we need to beef up our navy, enlarge it, modernize it, spend, you know, at the time what would have been trillions of dollars in today's dollars. But President Madison said, instead of spending all that money and building up a navy from scratch, it'd be a lot cheaper just to rent Portugal's navy and fight for us. And they did. And there wasn't a lot of skirmishes. There were some skirmishes, but it wasn't a major war. But his idea was, why are we spending billions of dollars on building up and building ships and things like that that are going to be obsolescent? Why don't we use much less money to hire some other countries, like mercenaries, basically, is what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about disinformation before the break, and this... Michael Hayden, the ex-CIA director, and he said Senator Tuberville from Senator Tommy Tuberville said that he should be removed from the human race. Well, as a CIA director, they do that. And in fact, I was told by a former CIA agent, whom we know, that he said, yeah, they if they feel somebody is a threat, they'll go and assassinate him without any arrests or trials or anything like that.
And he gave us the name of one of their targets.
He gave us the name of one of the targets that they couldn't get to. But he said if we had the opportunity, we would have killed him, murdered him, basically. Mm-hmm. And Obama has murdered hundreds of people just by ordering them. Well, this guy is a suspected terrorist, so we're going to murder him. You may agree with that, you may not agree with it, but it's a fact. That's what they do. Well, we hear a lot about disinformation and should not be considered free speech, and free speech is a thorny issue. These are from the very people that tell us men can be women, which is disinformation. Men can have babies, which is disinformation. Men are not physically stronger than women, so they should be allowed in women's sports. That's disinformation. They're more than two genders. That's disinformation. You see, did you read about just, what, yesterday or day before? This 55-year-old man who's a professor at a college claims to be a woman, and he was allowed in a swimming competition to be on the teenage girls' team, girls as young as 12, and to undress in the girls' locker room. Parents came in and held up towels so that the girls couldn't see the guy naked. I mean, what is this coming to? Anyway, some call it misinformation, others call it disinformation. They're both the same thing. And Democrats are the biggest disinformation peddlers of them all. Now, why do I say Democrats? It's not because I'm a Republican. I'm not necessarily. I am conservative, obviously. It's because you'll not find a conservative that thinks a man can be a woman just because he identifies as one. You're not going to find a conservative saying women aren't the only ones who can have babies and be part of womanhood. Do you know Maybelline, Allison, now uses men in their ads using cosmetics?
I know. It's too bad because my favorite lipstick is made by Maybelline.
Target has men modeling women's bathing suits.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I mean, why are these companies ignoring the billions of dollars? I mean, these are not the only companies. The billions they've lost by replacing women with men pretending to be women in their ads. I mean, do they think that appealing to less than 1% of the population while alienating 99% of the people is somehow a good thing? No, it's virtue signaling. It's Soros and other people are pouring money into groups that force these companies to do. Well, they sell out. Well, you know, go woke, go broke. Duke University had a survey, and they surveyed college students, and they asked them things like this. What gender are you? 24% said they're gender related to a helicopter or an aircraft, ranging from an Apache attack helicopter to a V-22 Osprey. And why not? If you can identify as one of the infinite number of genders that Google recognizes, it's got to include aircraft, right? Google software engineer Rachel Bennett announced, quote, "I'm proud to announce that Google will support an infinite number of ways to express gender identity." Okay, well, in this Duke University survey, they asked about one's disabilities. Responses ranged from claiming to be illiterate to, quote, "my country is run by communists," this one, my disability, or even declaring that identifying as transgender is a disability in itself due to, quote, "the inability to come to terms with biological reality," was one of the answers into this Duke University survey. Under racial and ethnic identities, one of the responses was, "I'm an ethnic gift card." And for disability, this person answered, "I don't have enough gift cards." Here's other responses to this Duke University to questions about identity. Rejected the researcher's project entirely with answers such as, "My skin color is not important. Come on, man, these questions are stupid. Everyone is a grab bag of genetics from all over the world. And what else do you want to know? What I ate for breakfast?" The research team declared the mockery they received had a profound impact on their morale and mental health, particularly for one transgender researcher who was already in therapy for anxiety and depression regarding online and anti-trans rhetoric. They said that the researchers managing the study's data collection caused significant personal distress from these answers. Time had to be taken off the project to heal from the traumatic harm of having to read students' responses to the survey. And I'm sure they demanded taxpayer-funded therapy, by the way, also.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, you know, the survey was given to engineering and computer science students, And they deal in numbers and facts, not disinformation. So these researchers label the answers as malicious responses. You know, they, if they lived on planet Earth, maybe they'd understand the responses. The students that, quote, traumatized the woke snowflake university, Duke University researchers, had it right. The lesson here is don't comply. Don't accept disinformation. Men can be women, and there are a gazillion genders. Mock it at every opportunity, and use your money to speak for you and what kind of brands you buy. And boycott the Targets and the Maybellines of the world. And you let your money speak for you in what you buy. And just don't buy this men can be women. Mock it. You know, the left cannot stand satire. Babylon Bee is a great example of that. Sure. BabylonBee.com, BabylonBee.com. That's great satire. The left can't stand it.
That's they why, go why they were thrown off Twitter.
They were thrown off.
Elon Musk put them back
on. Put them right back on first day. So mock the left. Mock this idea. Don't just accept it or be silent about it. You know, silence is acceptance. So mock it. Make fun of it. Oh, they can't stand that. Love that.
Coming up after the news break, you're going to be shocked to find out about an exhibit during this Christmas season at a state house.
And we've got events coming up as well. Events in the Hill Country you won't want to miss. So stay tuned right after the news on the Bill and Allison Show.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
And Merry Christmas in advance. All right?
That's right.
Almost, it's almost there. It's getting close. Santa's on our next our program on Saturday.
The 23rd of December.
23rd of December. We've made special arrangements with Santa to tell us what his plans are for Christmas. So you don't want to miss. That'll be next Saturday. From 8 to 10 in the morning, right here on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill has just been telling you about events that are coming up. I have some events, or not events, things that have happened this past week that are, I think, are very interesting. More than 1,300 tons of fish, sardine and mackerel, washed ashore in Japan last week, and officials have no idea why.
No kidding.
I saw pictures, and you know, as far as the eye could see, it was silverfish. Isn't that incredible? And
they don't know why.
At the same time, another puzzling matter, a bull was found running on the tracks of Penn Station in New Jersey, causing a great deal of curiosity where to come from. It wasn't a nearby farm because there aren't any.
Really?
It's still under investigation, and the trains did begin moving after about a 45-minute delay.
Well, we had once and once only a herd of cattle. We live on some acreage outside of Kerrville. A herd of cattle wandered through our property.
That's something totally different.
Yes, it is something totally different. We don't have cattle. Our neighbors don't have cattle. But a herd just was wandering through.
Well, the funny thing was our vet was out because we had we had some donkeys. Which that didn't last long. But anyway, so he came out to give a shot to one of our donkeys.
Yeah, we tried to give the donkey shots, and it's like it's like taking a needle and trying to force it into a piece of sheet metal. I mean, their hides are so tough.
Like a football. Yeah. That's what I would compare it to, like a football. So I couldn't do it.
Well, I bent the needle trying to do it. Yeah.
So our vet was standing facing us, and he was also facing our creek, and which runs through our property. And he said, "Oh, I didn't realize you had cattle." And we said, "We don't." He said,
"What are those?"
Now you do. They had just wandered over from the neighbor's property.
Yeah.
And also this past week, Fontainebleau Las Vegas opened on the Strip. And at 67 stories tall, it's the tallest occupiable building in Nevada.
Whoa. Tallest occupiable? You mean there are taller ones that are not occupiable?
Apparently, that's what that means. I mean, can you imagine being on the 67th floor? And
no, I wouldn't want to be.
If
there's a fire, they
I was just going to say there was a fire in Las Vegas, famously.
The MGM Grand, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people died because they were in upper stories.
Yeah.
And the fire department did not have the sufficient equipment to reach them.
No, I don't like upper stories.
No.
Hotels.
And the only other state whose tallest occupiable building is a casino is Mississippi, with the Beau Rivage Casino Hotel in Biloxi.
We've been to Biloxi.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the home of Jefferson Davis was. It was wiped out by one of the major hurricanes, Katrina or one of them, and mostly wiped out. There's a museum there now, but I think they rebuilt his home, but... Biloxi is kind of a cool place. I like Biloxi. Well, called the greatest American battle of the war by Winston Churchill, the Battle of the Bulge in Belgium began on this day in 1944, December 16, and lasted for 5 weeks. It was Hitler's last major offensive in World War II against the Western Front. Now, Hitler's aim was to split the Allies in their drive toward Germany, but it wasn't successful. And the German troops' failure to divide Britain, France, and America paved the way for victory for the Allies. The Battle of the Bulge was the costliest battle ever fought by the U.S. Army, which suffered over 100,000 casualties. And here's Mike Huckabee on the Battle of the Bulge.
After the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, there was a group of over 1,000 U.S. troops who were captured by the Nazis and placed in the Ziegenhain Stalag. In January of 1945, the Nazi commandant ordered the American Jewish soldiers to separate from all the other captives. The ranking American in the camp was Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds, who hailed from Knoxville, Tennessee. He ordered every one of the American soldiers to fall out in formation when the Jews were ordered to report. The shocked Nazi major demanded that Sergeant Edmonds identify which ones were actually Jews. Sergeant Edmonds said, "We are all Jews here." The incensed German commander took a pistol and held it tight to Edmonds' head and threatened to shoot him if he didn't identify the Jews, who would surely be murdered if they were identified. Sergeant Edmonds gave his name, rank, and serial number, and he told the Nazi commandant that he could shoot him, but unless he shot every one of the over 1,000 soldiers, he would be held responsible for the war crime, and they all knew who he was. The courage of Sergeant Edmonds to declare that all of the soldiers were Jews saved the lives of 200 actual Jews in captivity that day.
Well, before the...
He was a hero. He was a real hero.
Absolutely. Yeah. before the news break, I told you there was a shocking display, holiday display. It's in the Iowa State House. It's a display set up by the Satanic Temple on a mannequin cloaked in red clothing. The co-founder of the Satanic Temple says the Satanic display is a symbol of their right to religious freedom. We're going to really relish the opportunity to be represented in a public forum. We don't have a church on every street corner. The Satanic Temple's display in the Capitol, absolutely objectionable. In a free society, the best response to objectionable speech is more speech, and I encourage all those of faith to join me today in praying over the Capitol and recognizing the nativity scene that will be on display. The true reason for the season. The Satanic Temple of Iowa is pressing charges, and Cassidy is facing fourth-degree criminal mischief. Turning Point USA has already pledged $10,000 to his legal defense.
Excellent.
They said, "We stand with Satan's slayer." So my question is, okay, this fellow is being charged criminal mischief. What kind of charges were brought against those who destroyed or defaced many statues, starting with the BLM riots?
Yeah, or the pro-Palestinian protesters at the White House that tried to break down the gates of the White House to get in it, mm-hmm. and defaced monuments right in front of the White House. Mm-hmm. How many of them have been prosecuted? I haven't heard of any. And You don't think they're on camera? You don't think they have surveillance cameras in front of the White House? Of course they do.
Exactly.
Probably one of the most surveilled areas in the world. But nobody's been prosecuted that I've ever heard of.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
I have a quiz for Bill.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
She does this to me. I have no... Mm-hmm. Seriously, I don't know what the quiz questions are. Mm-hmm. It's not... This is not an act. All right, lay it on me, baby.
What capital city has as many people who speak French as Paris? You're not going to get it.
Brussels.
No, wrong.
No?
Mm-mm.
Ottawa? No, it wouldn't be Ottawa, Canada. That's not in the French-speaking area. Capital of a country that has more, as many French or more French?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go wild and say Beijing.
No. Do you want me to tell you?
Tokyo. Adelaide.
No. Okay.
Washington, D.C.
I'll tell you.
Washington, D.C.?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll tell you. It's Kinshasa. Kinshasa.
You're just making up... What, you just make up a name? Well, that's the capital of Kinshasa.
Close. It's capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Congo.
Uh-huh.
Formerly the Belgian Congo. Hey, my first answer was Brussels. Belgian Congo. I got close.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh.
Well, that was the question.
I know that was a question. I thought there were more questions than that. Oh, where are we going? As Harley says, which I don't even remember what Harley says. Oh, it's something about swinging from trees in a jungle and grabbing onto the next what do they call those? Not a rope, but the next vine. That's it. Mm-hmm. The next vine.
Okay,
the next vine we're going to. We're going to talk. This is really going to surprise you. I don't know if we have to take a break or not, because I don't want to get started on something lengthy.
No, you can go ahead.
I mean, it's pretty lengthy.
Well, I'll just interrupt you if you're going on too long.
Oh, you would interrupt me, Allison?
I control your mic.
I can't imagine that.
I control your mic.
Yeah, one time on one of our shows, she wasn't saying much, and I said to Allison, I said, you know, you need to talk more. And then I said... It occurred to me that probably is the first time in human history that a husband has told his wife she needs to talk more.
He doesn't do it around the house, I can guarantee you that.
No, okay. Let's go to, because I've got about 6-8 minutes of stuff here. You really want me to start this? I'd rather not interrupt it.
Okay.
Okay, what?
We'll do it after the break.
All right. You've got that story in the Satanic...
I just did it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me
just
do this.
Did it.
Well, no. This is something different. But it goes with the story that you said about Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
The Satanic Temple isn't just promoting the killing of unborn babies and abortions anymore. It's actually killing them through a new, what they call a religious abortion practice in New Mexico.
Wow.
They've launched... their religious medical services arm to begin doing abortions. They say that aborting unborn babies is a religious ritual protected under the Constitution, and they compare it to communion or baptism for Christians.
Wow.
So they're trying to make abortion part of their religion, and they're just like the some of the tribes have made peyote mm-hmm. protected. Because it's part of a religious rite. Well, now the Satanic Temple is saying abortion is a religious rite and therefore it should be protected and should not be outlawed. So the Satanic Abortion Clinic in New Mexico will offer abortion drugs to women ages 17 and up who are up to 11 weeks pregnant. Eventually, the Satanic Temple say they want to expand their new abortion practice to states that ban abortions. They've filed lawsuits in several states challenging their legal protections on religious grounds. This is just the beginning, said Aaron Helian, executive director of the Satanic Temple. They claim killing unborn babies, as I said, is a religious ritual and restricting it violates the fundamental tenets, their constitutional right. They say that pro-life laws are rooted in Christian nationalism, even though, of course, people of all faiths and people of no faiths believe basic human rights should apply to every human being. Elisa Martinez, founder of the New Mexico Alliance for Life, said the fact that the Satanic Temple plans to set up a ritual abortion clinic in New Mexico speaks volumes about who is really behind the abortion agenda. Very good point. Their, quote, their willingness to flaunt the practice of ending innocent human life as a ritualistic sacrifice shows how New Mexico public officials have cooperated with this evil by turning the state into the thriving, taxpayer-funded abortion capital of the Southwest and even America, unquote. The Satanic Temple is a recognized religion by the IRS. They're challenging the Texas heartbeat law, which has saved tens of thousands of babies. It's pushing its belief on young children. They began opening clubs in elementary schools, satanic clubs in elementary schools. Believe it or not, these satanic influences are seen at pro-abortion rallies where some abortion activists chant, "Hail Satan."
Wow.
Hail Satan.
I hadn't heard that.
And going along with your story about Iowa, earlier this month, New York City leaders erected a golden statue to abortion on top of a city courthouse. It's a naked woman with horns. Demonic. Satanic. So they're openly satanic now. They're not denying that they love Satan and that they worship Satan. And they think they're being very clever by saying that abortion is a religious ritual protected under the Constitution. They think that's going to fly. And given the way things are going, who knows? It may fly. It may fly. I've got somewhere in this pile of stuff. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is what we got, Allison.
Okay.
All right. If you knew a woman who was pregnant, who had given birth to 8 kids already, 3 who were deaf, 2 who were blind, 1 mentally retarded, and she had syphilis, would you recommend that she have an abortion? If so, you just killed Beethoven. Well, that's our homage to Ludwig von Beethoven, who was born this day in 1770. I thought that story about abortion was hits home. Well, we're going to take a short break on the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about the world's most unusual radio. Speaking of radio stations on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, you won't believe this. where this radio is worn on your person. And even Allison doesn't know this one. So we're Bill and Allison. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot. And you can hear our back shows at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Well, I promised to tell you about the world's most unusual radio and where you're supposed to wear it. It's being worked on at the Tyler Clinic in California. I don't know if I can get through this one.
Is it something you can say on the radio? Is it something you can say on the radio?
I can say it on the radio. The world's most unusual radio, when it's perfected, will be worn in the vagina.
That was going to be my guess.
Seriously?
It was.
You got a weird mind.
Well, no, I was trying to think of the weirdest place.
I'm not going there.
So where would guys wear it?
That's not for guys. Well, I'm sorry. Guys can have vaginas. I forgot. No, it's not for guys. It's for women, obviously. Worn in the vagina and will send out electronic signals to the doctor's office when the wearer ovulates. So, can't wait for that. Oh, I just thought of a Christmas present.
Oh, we're having trouble finding Christmas presents for each other.
Yeah, well, now that gave me an idea. Are criminals responsible for the crimes they commit, Allison?
Yes.
Wow, you are profound. Well, you're wrong. In cities like Baltimore and other communist machine-run urban hellholes, criminals aren't responsible, because that's why Baltimore is suing Hyundai and Kia for car thefts.
Oh, that's right.
They say
their cars are so easy to steal.
Yes, that's their argument.
Yes,
they're making the cars too easy to steal. It's their fault. It's not the thieves' fault. It couldn't possibly be that for generations, really, there's been no penalties at all for people who steal cars, or anything else for that matter, in Baltimore. When they rioted and set part of the city on fire, the mayor ordered the police to stand down and give our children, as she called the rioting criminals, give them their space.
Wow is right.
Bottom line is, where Trump voters live and govern, there are almost zero crimes. But where Democrats live and govern, something different. But even though we rural Trump voters don't live there, we're still blamed for all the hate crimes that happen in cities populated and governed by Democrats. Okay? People of all races and creeds and backgrounds live here, for example, in Hill Country, together in relative peace and harmony. It's a wonderful way to live. Almost everybody in rural MAGA-land owns guns. We were in England recently, and we were told there's going to be two questions answered or asked by people in England, by the English. They always ask Americans two questions, or they usually ask Americans. Number one, how could you vote for Trump? Or how could Trump be your president? And number two, do you own a gun? And I was asked both of those questions, and Millie, who was working at the hotel we stayed in Newbury, England, a very sweet young girl, and she said, "Do you own a gun?" And I said, "No." I said, "I own 14 guns." She almost fell off her chair. She said, "Why?" And I told her all the reasons, a bullet goes a lot faster than a 911 response call, and all the arguments that I had for that. But she didn't get it. She still didn't get why a person would own a gun. But the gun violence crises happen in cities populated and governed by Democrats. In some cases, they've been governing for decades. Why are there no gun violence crises in rural America? You know, one occasionally, yes, but mostly it's Democrat-run big cities.
Which has strong gun laws.
Yes, exactly. Laws. That's a very good point.
We heard a story just the other day. This fellow who lives in New Mexico right now, he was telling us when he was 14, he was listening to this conversation in his home with adults, and they were talking about the need for gun control, how we need more laws for gun control. And he's probably in his 30s now, so this was a few years ago. So he called somebody and met this person at his back fence. And this Dominic, this fellow telling us the story, reached over the fence and handed a fellow $160, and the fellow handed him a gun. And so 14-year-old Dominic went into where the adults were having this discussion about how we need more gun control. He set it down on the table and said, $160 just got me this.
Well, yeah, if
you want a gun, you can get a gun.
That's right. That's right. If gun control ends gun violence, why is there so much gun violence where there's the most gun control?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Democrats can't answer that question. Here are the some of the top cities with the most murders, and which party runs those cities. Chicago, last Republican mayor, 1931. Philadelphia, they've had only Democrat mayor since 1952. Baltimore, we just talked about, only Democrat mayor since 1967. Houston has had one GOP mayor since 1974, although I think he just switched parties to the Republican Party. I think that was Houston. Los Angeles, one Republican mayor since 1961. St. Louis, since 1949. You can go on and on. Washington, D.C. has never had a Republican mayor. New Orleans has had Democrat mayor since 1872. Not 19, 1872. San Antonio leftists have run there for two decades. Atlanta has been run by Democrats since 1879. Mm. So every one of America's most murderous cities has been exclusively run by Democrats for decades. Decades.
Well, you mentioned Chicago, how Democratic it is, Democratic with capital D. We met a fellow, a Republican, who had run for governor, and he told us that he won every single county in the entire state, yet he lost because Chicago voted against him.
He won every other county except Cook County.
Yeah, every other county in the entire state.
So he lost.
So he lost.
Yeah. Why is it that these leftist cities filled with leftist people and who elect leftist leaders, why are they so full of violence and racism? It's weird. It's weird. Well, it's not weird. They don't prosecute criminals. That's the problem. Like the rest of the country, rural America has a serious drug problem. But unlike Democrat-run cities, we don't have the murders, the gangs, the gun violence, the carjacking, or the homelessness that goes with it. It's no riots, no lootings. And as far as the environment is concerned, unlike the polluted toxic waste dumps that are so many Democrat-run cities, feces all over the street, we take care of our environment. And we take care of our environment. Until it interferes with somebody's right to live their life however they wish, everybody in America has the right to live their life however they wish. So, if these morons elect leftist Democrats, they want to live with violence, filth, pollution, racial hatred, hate crimes, You know, as I say, feces-covered sidewalks, race riots, gangs, smog, mass shootings, and homeless encampments. Hey, you've got every right to do so. Godspeed. You know, you want to live your life blaming problems that you have caused because you elect these people? You blame Trump voters? Yeah, you got every right to do that. I don't care how you live your miserable lives. Out here in rural MAGA land, life is sweet. And the closest we come to your filth and crime and violence and racial tensions is when we watch the news. And when the news blames us for your problems, we just lean back on our lazy boys and laugh. You get what you vote for. And the idiots who live in Democrat-run, you know what holes, Trump said, are getting everything they deserve. A lot of that.
He was correct. He was correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to give credit to John Nolte at Breitbart for some of that information. But, you know, it's the fact is that if you have violent and dangerous people on the loose, they're going to get their hands on guns or other weapons, regardless of whatever laws there are. Gun control doesn't stop killers. It stops people from protecting themselves. If you want to stop mentally unstable mass shooters, institutionalize them. We used to do that. We used to put mentally ill people in mental hospitals and try to cure them. But now we just leave them out in the street. You know, we'd rather arrest people who are requesting to be taken to a psych ward. People who ask to be taken to a psych ward, we'd rather arrest them than take them to a psych ward. See, there's a bias, Allison, against institutionalization in America, as opposed to Europe. So we have crazies wandering the streets and other crazies shooting up, you know, schools and everything else. Do we have a homeless problem? Or do we have a mass shooter problem? Or do we have a mental illness problem? Do we have people on psychotropic drugs, as RFK Jr. says? He thinks a lot of it is because people are drugged out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, leftists, they think the myth of a homeless problem allows them to attack capitalism and dismantle our civil rights. So the refusal to institutionalize the mentally ill has wrecked our cities and cost us a lot of lives. Well, speaking of guns, there is a gun and knife show in Kerrville at the Hill Country Youth Event Center coming up today. It just started from 9 to 5 today and 10 to 4 tomorrow. That's a good opportunity to buy some guns. And they're actually, you don't have to fill out government forms and tell them who you are, and so they can keep a registry of gun owners. You can still buy guns from a private individual. And there are private individuals at these gun shows. And so that's what I recommend.
Okay, well, do you know, or maybe I told you this the other day, so... But do you know what car keeps its resale value the best? Well, I'll tell you. It's the Porsche 911. It only loses 9% of its retail value on the used car market on average in 5 years. And that car costs new anywhere between $90,000 and $294,000 based on the horsepower. Now get this. Horsepower, so for 90,000 you get 200 horsepower, or you can go up to 700 horsepower.
What?
Can you believe that?
Wow, no yeah. Kidding.
Along with some other model specifications. Now, I believe the Cybertruck, Tesla's Cybertruck, it is faster than the Porsche 911. We were talking about that truck the other day, and I think that's what they said.
I didn't know that. Oh, here's Mariah.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
Well, that's Mariah. That's Allison's favorite Christmas song. When we come back, we've got a special report from Tucker Carlson that you won't want to miss. We'll be back after a quick break.
Christmas is
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison.
Our website is firstcoupleoftexasradio.com if you'd like to hear some of our past shows and download them and take them with you on your favorite digital device. Allison, what you got?
Well, Tucker Carlson parked billboard trucks. And if you don't know what a billboard truck is, just go to Las Vegas. They're always driving up and down the strip. It's a truck that has billboards on either side of it. It's an electronic billboard. And Tucker parked billboard trucks emblazoned with "Corporate media is dead" outside the offices of major media outlets after launching his own streaming service. He sent trucks to the offices of MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, and The New York Times. The trucks also advertised a limited-time offer for people to access exclusive content through a $72 annual subscription fee to become founding members of the Tucker Carlson Network. How about that?
No kidding.
His new website. In an interview, he suggested that the era of dominance by a few big media companies is over now because they misused their monopoly.
Wow.
He also emphasized the need for new institutions to fill the role. And on some level, they know they're doomed, which is why they're hysterical. The end of dominance by a few media companies, the era of total control over all information by, you know, about nine people. Well, that's done.
Cool.
And
cool.
Here's more Tucker.
Millions of Americans sincerely love Donald Trump. They love him in spite of everything they've heard. They love him often in spite of himself. They love Donald Trump because no one else loves them. The country they built, the country their ancestors fought for over hundreds of years, has left them to die in their unfashionable little towns, mocked and despised by the sneering half-wits with finance degrees but no actual skills who seem to run everything all of a sudden. Whatever Donald Trump's faults, he is better than the rest of the people in charge. At least he doesn't hate them for their weakness. Donald Trump, in other words, is and has always been a living indictment of the people who run this country. That was true 4 years ago when Trump came out of nowhere to win the presidency, and it's every bit as true right now. Trump rose because they failed. It's as simple as that. If the people in charge had done a halfway decent job with the country they inherited, if they'd cared about anything other than themselves, even for just a moment, Donald Trump would still be hosting Celebrity Apprentice, but they didn't. Instead, they were incompetent and narcissistic and cruel and relentlessly dishonest. They wrecked what they didn't build. They lied about it. They hurt anyone who told the truth about what they were doing. That's true. We watched. America is still a great country, the best in the world, but our ruling class is disgusting. A vote for Trump is a vote against them. That's what's going on in this country.
Well, that was Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. A vote for Trump is a vote against the deep state, against the ruling class, whether it's Democrat or Republican. Because a lot of Republicans, I mean, they're rhinos. They're Republicans in name only. And to vote for Trump is a vote against the crap that has been going on in this country for decades and decades and decades. The war machine. You know, we did our previous show, we talked about how war is a racket. Companies make billions off of war. And then they make billions off of putting the countries that we've been at war with back together again. So they make billions both ways. They make billions in war, and then they make billions from the peace after that. War is a money-making racket. You know, if there's a war between the Hottentots and the Hottentoots, we got to take a side and go. And Zelensky even said recently that you will be sending American troops to fight for Ukraine.
You will be sending your children.
Your children. He said you will send your children to bleed and die for Ukraine. He actually had the this to say that. Unbelievable.
Cojones.
Okay. That's the German word for it, right?
No.
Someone else asked again for the website for the Alliance Defending Schools. So I'm going to give it to you one more time. Grab a pen. It's free information on parental rights in the face of critical race theory. And what is critical race theory? It's basically what students are being taught in government schools, public schools, all over the country, that all of the problems of the world are because of white people. And you should be ashamed to be white, and blacks and other minorities need reparations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's critical race theory. And we need to actually, you know, I believe, first of all, let me give it to you. You asked for the website, and I didn't give it to you. TinyURL, TinyURL.com/ParentRights2023. Okay, and that's all one word at the end, ParentRights2023. I'll do it again. Tiny, TinyURL, that's one word, .com/ Parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, Rights, R-I-G-H-T, 2023. And that's to get the free information on how to deal with critical race theory when your kid comes home and says he's so ashamed to be white, and how whites are, you know, the founding fathers are all racists, and we need to get rid of the memory of them and all, take down the statues and all that. But you need to know also the warning signs of white supremacy, Allison. The warning signs of white supremacy.
Okay.
There are 5 warning signs. You want to write these down. Married and has kids. Full-time employment. Regular church attendance. No criminal record. Distrusts the government. Didn't George Carlin say something about distrusting the government, Allison?
I think he did.
Those are the 5 warning signs.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
There you go. So that's number 5 of the 5 warning signs of white supremacy. Married and has kids, full-time employment, regular church attendance, no criminal record, and distrust the government. Distrust the government, just like George Carlin, eh? Well, time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Don't forget a few events coming up in the Hill Country. Christmas at the Croc Center in Kerrville until noon for the kids. Breakfast, decorating, photos with Santa, much more at the Croc Center in Kerrville today. The LBJ State Park and Historic Site tomorrow from 5:30 to 7 will the 54th annual tree lighting. That's tomorrow. Santa is flying into the Gillespie County Airport in a 1962 Piper Super Cub from 1 to 4 on Saturday. Photos and a food drive to benefit the Fredericksburg Food Pantry, so bring something out for that. And the Harper Livestock Show is today at the Harper ISD Livestock Show Barn, beginning at right now. So go to the Harper ISD Livestock Show Barn, full day of shows and events. We are Bill and Allison. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.